in the light of the weather conditions, you might like to turn to Psalm 121. And in the light of Psalm 121, you want to think of the Assyrians coming and going after Hezekiah in Jerusalem. 100 years ago, not that, but a long time ago comparatively, they had taken the 10 tribes of the north. Now he's coming down to take Jerusalem. And there's Hezekiah. Now, Psalm 121. In the light of that, you're familiar with it. And as it begins, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, if you're looking out ultimately here at the Assyrian army, that's not too good. If you're looking out at your world that you live in, that isn't particularly full of vim and vigor and super duper. It's a world. Conditions and the characteristics of it are just where they are. So we aren't going to get necessarily overexcited about the world in which we live. We need to be careful we don't get discouraged and depressed either. So God, how do we do it? Well, how did Hezekiah do it? Hezekiah, here's the Assyrians, here's the people around him, where they were. And then he's trying to put the two together now, remember. So, in Psalm 121, keeping that in mind, so you get your little world, and here's Hezekiah's world, and what's he going to do? Where's he look? Looks out one way, he sees the Assyrians. Looks another way, he sees the people. Are they ready to take on the Assyrians? No. Then what's he do? He lifts up his eyes. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help is going to come from the Lord. So, having said that, it cometh from the Lord, verse 2, who made heaven and earth. So the word help, remember, means to strengthen, to support, to invigorate, to come to one's aid, to assist somebody, to help somebody, to come. So the question is, from whence cometh my help? And my help is going to come from the Lord. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, therefore, what hills? So what hills are we looking at? Well, Jerusalem's there, high up in a little ridge, as it were, comparatively, elevation-wise. So, when you want to get Hezekiah's, what are you doing, Hezekiah? I'm looking up. Are you looking at the hill, the mountains? There they are. If you're in the right place, you could see a whole lot, a great distance. Wow. Now, Jeremiah chapter 3. In Jeremiah chapter 3, picking up, if I may, in the light of the context, verse 22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come into unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. Now remember what they did on hills or mountains or anything high, where there's a little, they built their idols, they built their temples, they did everything. And you want to think of the Genesis 11 and where they built the tower in a city. Why do they keep building it on the high places? to get closer to the deity, closer to the stars, closer to the moon, to have some sense of getting close to God as they would perceive him. As not God, really, because they're making it gods, and ultimately, as we're looking at, it becomes demons. So here we are, and verse 23, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So the whole hope and salvation of Israel is in God. It's not in the idols. It's not in the system. It's not anything material. It isn't any special place, special item. People have sacred items, sacred places. It isn't a sacred place. It isn't a sacred item. It's God. Now, and the people need to realize that. So now, having said that a little bit, well, back over to Psalms, Psalm 33. And let's just sort of get up a little bit and look down. And God's people, God's wonderful caring about them, he helps them. So all we want to do is understand Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. He is a looking unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. So God, how do you help? When do you help? Did you ever help? Psalm 33. I need to get there. Psalm 33, if I can. Picking up in verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. Why are you waiting for the Lord? He is our help and our shield. So we're waiting. We are looking to anyone else. God, the only one that can ever has it clear and plain and simple and workable, you do. You do. And no one else does. Just you. So God, we want to understand that. And so here we are sitting there in our world, in our conditions, in our little trying to make our life work out. Psalm 70. And in Psalm 70, may I pick up, to get the flavor of it, in verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, to come to my aid, assistance, to support me, to strengthen me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Sliding down, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say, continually let God be magnified. Verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O Lord, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. God, I understand, I've learned, it isn't going to be out of me. And I am weak and needy. Oh, there's all kinds of things, but for the really to work it out, God, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to help me work it out. Psalm 124. In Psalm 124, again, the psalmist, as you ride through history, God, you're always helping people that want help, that look for help. And you're an ever-present help. The trouble is we look everywhere else for help and not to you. And God, only you understand us. Only you can bear us. And only you can help us. When it's all done. Psalm 100, no one else cares like that. Just no one cares like that. 124, picking up in verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they swallowed us up quick. With their wrath was kindled against me, us. Then the waters had gone overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. But we're certainly, it's all around us, God. We aren't coming out. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of a snare of the fowlers, the people that are trapping them. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Now, God, here we are. Everything isn't okay, but we're trying to work it out, and we only can see so far, can only do so much. Verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. God, you're the only one that can come to our aid and help us. There's no one else that could do it. And all the solutions we have are based on our solutions. And we think thus and thus will be thus. And we go 10 feet, 10 days down the road. But it isn't. It isn't what we thought. It isn't going like we like. It isn't like we understand. God, we should have been looking to you, so as we go forward, we're able to go forward not looking at our results or how things go or how things look. We're looking at you, God. And therefore, it doesn't make any difference whether it's an ice storm or a snowstorm or a sunny day. Doesn't make any difference whether it's a dead end, because we weren't looking. We weren't looking at any of that. We were looking at you. And that's why we can keep going, because we won't get snowballed or something, snowed under. You can't have that happen because we aren't counting on that. It's like the guy said the other day in a little illustration we tried. They were going down the road. The guy was very discouraged, you remember, and going country road and couldn't see through everything. And the gentleman said, do you see the cow? Remember the cow? The cow was standing facing the wall. And the man said, what is the cow doing? He isn't looking through the wall. He's looking over the wall. What are you supposed to do? Not look at your problem. Look over your problem. Look unto him from whence cometh your help. You're looking in the wrong place to have light. Now, so having said that, over to 2 Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles, and if I can, and here's Uzziah, I should say. And in the process, remember now, we won't do that, it'd be too long. 26 and verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gibeah and in Nimes. And the Ammonites gave up gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Now God was helping him, and he got real encouraged and everything, and he was moving along, and God strengthened him. God came along and he got exceedingly encouraged, strengthened, and was very strong to bring things together, to make a rope with tying, binding things together, makes a big rope and makes strong to be whole, to be held. He became very strong. Now in the process of coming very strong, verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows, and great stones withal, and his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Now God helped him all the way. And he got strong. Well, what happens when God starts helping us? Then we tend to get as if it was our strength, our help, and we tend to say, well, see, it worked out. See, this worked out. And when we go back to the old system of going down the highway and counting on our own system, counting on our own things, and down the highway we go, because we're counting ourselves strong, we're able to do it. See what we just did, but you don't understand. The reason that worked out was because God helped you with that. See? But you forgot that. So that's not part of our problem. And in the process, Uzziah, he had to go and learn and be educated in the process of all of it as God helped him and looked to him. And so in the process, he was, as we shared, marvelously helped, extraordinary, in a most wonderful way, God had helped him. Now, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He isn't a priest, as it were. What's he doing? He just should have been very thankful. But he got overly enthused and he got in trouble. And it did not come out good at all for him, as it could have and as it should have, might have. Now, in the light of that, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. In 2 Chronicles and in chapter 14. And remember Asa now. Here's Asa going back. It doesn't make any difference going back or forward, but the illustration's there for us. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 2. And Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Now he did that, sliding up to verse 6. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Verse 7. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make unto them walls, and towers, and gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, for we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Verse 8. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. And all these mighty men. Now that's a wow, that's a lot. Verse 9, but his opponent. And there came out against him Zara, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto him to Mirashah. And now he's got over 1,000,000. See? Well, it looked good, but until you see what you're up against, that wasn't so good. Now, so what are you going to do, Asa? What are you going to do? The odds are against you from a human standpoint. Now, what did he do? Verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, is it nothing with thee to help, there's your little verb, whether with many or with them that have no power? Help us. In other words, it has nothing to do with how many we have or how, about anything. It doesn't many, many, a few, what difference does it make? God, are you able to help? So you draw a little circle and stand in it and say, who's here to help me? Well, who's going to stand in this circle? God said, you're all alone. But you're always alone. Even when you think you have everybody, you don't have anybody for real. Each is doing everything, but they aren't really connected at all. It will seem like that sometime. You sometime have military people in that, firemen that are committed to each other and to the death. And that's wonderful to have that kind of commitment. But that's not normal. That isn't the way it is. So therefore, here's Asa, and Asa is going to go, and in the process, in verse 9, the huge army, verse 11, and we've just read that, he's going to go, and Asa cried and said, Lord, there's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power to help us. O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee, against thee. And so there's a little help. He didn't lose it, I hope, in the process. Here's the army coming against you. But you're looking to God to be an ever-present help. So when you're looking to God to be a help, it isn't a question. Now you want to understand. They aren't, it looks like they're coming at you because you're the only one there. And here you are, surrounded by an infinite God. God's on every side. You're smack dab, as it were, in the middle of them. Infinity. That isn't even a good word. You're in the middle of God. And for us in the church age, God is in the middle of us. That becomes rather awesome again. Now, all of a sudden then, God, they aren't coming against me. The problem isn't going to be mine. It's yours. So God, they're coming against you. The problem in life is I'm trying to look there, and God, the only way I can make it is to look to you. I'm looking to you to be my help, an aid, a strength, a support. I'm looking to you. So when I'm looking to you, God, that's what I'm doing. I'm not looking to them. I'm not looking at the problems. I'm looking at you. So God, you got to help me through this. And if you don't, I'm not going to make it. But God, the whole problem now is they're going to be up against you and not me. Now, Asa said that, and that's an awesome thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, going, if I can, to verse 12. 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 12. And now this is the king, verse 11, and when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 40 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. And the city, which is the divided kingdom now, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah, and the Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now, Rehoboam could have done better, but he didn't, and he didn't do as he should have, and therefore he lost out. He humbled himself. He did evil, he prepared his heart. He didn't humble himself before the Lord for God to do what he would do in his life. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now, over, if you would, please, to get that a little bit better, over to Psalm 46. And like Psalm 121, here's Psalm 46, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. Therefore, in Psalm 46, verse 1, as you would know, 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We mentioned that a moment ago. A very present help in trouble, no question about it. And he's able to go in on every hand, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, that's pretty drastic, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. And I would guess, if I was going to move that way mentally, in the tribulation, when all of that stuff is really happening, boy, I'd hope I'm looking for God. Ground opening up, earthquakes, everything going on. Man, God, it all going to happen. But, Psalm 46, verse 4, there is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help, there's your word, little verb, help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the Lord of Jacob is our refuge. Wow. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. God is an ever-present help, and therefore, how did we proceed? Well, we stumbled through it. We had to keep learning. When God put guts, we put everything, and we keep getting stuck and realize that as we go week by week, hour by hour, month by month, and we have to keep coming up against something, then we got to be learning, ultimately, hopefully, that we look up without having to hit anything, without having to go that far. So at the very starting point, we aren't trying to look and see how far we can get. We're looking at God to get wherever we're going to go. Now, having said that, in Psalm 46, over, if you would please, to Hosea. God is going to help Israel, there's no question. And God is going to help in the future, and he tells them that what he's going to do. May I pick it up, please, in verse 5. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. I'm the one that took care of you for 40 years. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. Always, always, always apprehensive about something. Sliding down, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. You have ruined and shot your life full of holes, but I'm your help. But God, I'm full of holes. I'm your help. Verse 11, verse 10. I will be thy king where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, that's King Saul, and I took him away in my wrath. I only gave you a king because you insisted, and I let you find out the king isn't the way to go. I'm the king. But they didn't honor him. So now, just very quickly in the light of that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and go over the old. I think you for me have this of late. Psalm 41. In Psalm 41, didn't you do that, Steve? Yeah. Anyway, Psalm 41. It wasn't a question whether Steve did it. God did it. If Steve did it, it's no good. No offense, Steve, you know. Our best. It's only our own words. God, it has to be you. Psalm 41. Isaiah 41. Thank you for correcting me. Isaiah 41. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. There's your little word. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, God, you can't give us more, you couldn't give more encouragement than that. That's what you did. And now I need to read that and realize you did that for a nation that wouldn't receive it. But you would do it for one little person, male or female, that trusted you. You would do the same thing. That's right. Now, Israel, are you going to learn? I am. Verse 13. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. There's your little verb, to strengthen, to aid, to assist, to support. I will help thee. And I realize, so you don't have to tell me that about you. I am who I am, the infinite God, and you are going to go, you are a vessel of clay, and I'm going to go and be your God in a most awesome way. Verse 14, Fear not, thou worm Jacob, ye men of Israel, I will help thee, there's your verb, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'll do it. So, over, if you would, in a little sequence in closing, over to Hebrews. Before, did you start yet? Go back to Psalm. We're going to Hebrews. Psalm 121. I mean, because we read the beginning, I will look unto the Lord from whence cometh my help. Now, Psalm 121. If you kept reading it all wonderfully, and when you come to the end there, you know, God said he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never takes a break. He never needs to take a break. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. God holds our right hand. God is on our right hand. It has our right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve, keep thee. From all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. Now, God, if we're going to look to you and go down the corridor of time, verse 8, the Lord shall preserve, there's the same verb again, to keep, as in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve, will keep, thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. That's why that's called the traveler's psalm. You start out, and God's with you in the beginning, and you're looking for God to be at the end. He's an ever-present help. We were looking to God and not to the end and not to figure out how we're going to get anywhere. We're looking to God inch by inch by inch, and that's how we go. without getting overwhelmed or frustrated or whatever. Hebrews chapter 2. And by the way, that's the same expression in Deuteronomy 28 where the Lord said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you coming in and I'll bless you going out. And he said it. He said, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what David did without reading it all. David, what did you do? You found, looking to God, he blessed you going out, he blessed you coming in. The start to the finish. The God, that's what we need. So Hebrews chapter 2, encouraging the heart, in verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered, the Lord Jesus Christ, being tempted, put to the proof in every way, he is able to succor, to come to the aid, to rescue them that are put to the same test. So God, whatever we're in, Lord, you know about it? I do. And I'm able to go and help you because I've been there in my humanity. But in my deity, it was nothing to it. So I want you to know I'm there as an ever-present help. Chapter 4. And in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What on earth for? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So what are we looking for? God, your mercy and grace. We aren't looking for some super solution. We aren't looking for some dramatic something. We're just looking for what? For your mercy and grace, God, for another hour, another day, in the thick and thin of it. That's what we're looking for. That's all. Your mercy and grace. So then you aren't going to be disappointed. In fact, you'll be exalted and you'll be honored because you're looking for God to do what he is right for you, for us. And that's what God's going to do. So in closing, chapter 13. And in chapter 13, picking up, as you would guess, chapter 13 in verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness. Don't be trying to grab everything. You don't have to. I'll provide, in our prayer times, we're doing, studying. I'll provide your need. I know your need. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. On what basis are we to, what is our motivation or inspiration for that? To be content. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And since I never leave thee nor forsake thee, I told you, you'll never be disappointed. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to make it all work out. And you got to go and help keep us down, Lord, because we tend to sort of get confident like we read earlier. And we start saying, well, we did it, and we forget about looking to you. So God, you got to help us, and he does in all kinds of ways. So that God, it's up to you, God, what are we? So God, therefore, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So therefore, I don't know what lies ahead in any way, shape, or form, but God does. And that's where I'm looking. Not looking at anything else. Not looking to solve anything else. Going to use my common sense, be responsible, and do everything I should do as best I can. Always looking to you, God. Always wondering, and thank you for your mercy and grace. Going down the corridor, thank you very much. That's what I'm going to do. And, God, you said you'd be an ever-present help. If we're going to look to you, are you able to be exactly who you are? Absolutely. So, God, we're going to look to you.